May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So the theme I'm using today is forgiven to forgive. And it's based on the Old Testament lesson that you heard read earlier from Genesis. I want to remind you of just a few of those words right now. I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Forgiveness is something that is necessary in any and all relationships. Without it, there would not be any ongoing relationships in this world. And my wife, who couldn't be here with me today because she had already agreed to play organ at our home church to give our regular organist a break, my wife and I have been married for 45 years. And I can tell you, that would not have happened without a lot of forgiveness in both directions. But it's not just the marriage relationship that requires forgiveness. It's any relationship you have. If there's not forgiveness, that relationship won't last. Between the wounds that we inflict and the wounds that we receive, relationships can be ruined. Now, one person who was terribly wronged was the character in today's Old Testament reading, that fellow named Joseph. You remember that story, don't you? His father had given him a dazzling coat. He was the only one that got that coat of many colors. And that didn't sit well with his brothers. To say they were jealous would be an understatement. And the situation was not improved when he started telling his brothers about his dreams. Oh yeah, I had this dream where all of you bowed down to me, and mom and dad bowed down to me as well. It was like throwing gasoline on a fire. His brothers were not happy with him, to the point that they started to plot against him, to be fed up with him, to want to be rid of him so that he would no longer be part of their lives. So when he came out to check on them, how they were doing tending the flocks, they threw him in a pit. And they saw this caravan of slave traders going by, and they said, this is our chance. Let's get rid of him. They sold him to those slave traders. They sold their brother to slave traders. Then they took that special coat that he had, and they put animal's blood on it and tore it up so they could take it back to their father and said, it looks like some wild animals got your favorite. I've always tried to imagine how Jacob felt when he got that news. But I also want you to think today about how Joseph felt, betrayed by his own brothers. Ended up being a slave in a strange land, far away from home. Sold into slavery like an animal. Probably thoroughly convinced in his mind that he would never see his family again. Now, we've all suffered hurts in our lives. We've felt betrayed. There are times when we feel like we've been sold out by loyalties that we had counted on, sold out by people that we had placed our trust in, sold out by broken promises, by loved ones who manipulated us instead of caring for us, sold out by unfaithfulness and lies and treachery and dishonesty that exploited our weaknesses. When those things happen to you, how do you respond? Aren't we justly angry? I can't believe what they did to me. We rage. We think about how we can get even. We want to pay them back for what they did to us. After all, doesn't the Bible say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? I'm going to get them back for what they did to me. When we look at Joseph, we find that in spite of the pain and the anguish, he carried on with his life the best he could. In fact, he prospered in Egypt. Everything he touched seemed to turn to gold. He kept being given more responsibilities, and he was flourishing to the point where he rose as high as he could get without being Pharaoh. He was second in command to Pharaoh over all of Egypt. God continued to bless this young man. But you know what? He still carried that pain with him. The pain of having been betrayed and sold into slavery. All that hurt and anguish. You know, the same thing's true for us in our lives. When someone does us wrong, we try to go on the best we can, make the most of things in spite of the pain, but we still carry it with us in our hearts. So we look for ways that we can maybe ease the pain a little bit. Sometimes we make excuses for the person who has caused us harm. You ever done that? Well, you know, he's really not a bad person, or she didn't really mean that, or he's just going through a lot right now and taking it out on me. By excusing others, we try to diminish what they've done and ease our own pain, but it really doesn't work. Other times, we blame ourselves for the sins of others. Sounds kind of silly, but we do that, don't we? You know, Joseph could have thought, well, maybe it was my fault. I mean, how would I have felt if they all got coats and I didn't get one? And when I told them I had these dreams about them bowing down to me, maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud. He was blaming himself to some extent. And we do the same thing. When others have hurt us, we try to diminish the hurt by putting the blame on ourselves. It must be my fault. But when we do that, we fail to take into account that we don't have to bear their sins. Jesus has already borne the sins of everybody. So we shouldn't put them on ourselves. He paid for our sins too, but he paid for the sins of others, so we don't have to carry those sins. We shouldn't try to take the blame for them. Another way we try to deal with the hurt, to ease the pain, is to just ignore it. Trying to deny that it bothers us. We'll just say, I'm just going to smooth things over for the sake of peace and just pretend like nothing happened. And you may be able to suppress it for a while, but it's not going to go away. It's going to be there just below the surface, keep festering until one day it comes back and blows up. And unfortunately, some will try to mask the pain by turning to things like drugs and alcohol or some other foreign substance. They think if they can just numb themselves enough that the hurt will go away. But that's a self-destructive attempt that doesn't give lasting relief. I had a niece that did that. She was a heroin addict. Kept trying to numb all the pain in her life until she overdosed and died last year. It's not a lasting solution. It doesn't take away the pain. The reason these approaches, making excuses, blaming ourselves, ignoring it, or trying to mask the pain, the reason these things don't work is because none of them are forgiveness. The only thing that works on the hurt and the pain that you feel because of what others have done to you is forgiveness. It's the only cure for the pain and the sin that caused it. I know we don't like to think in those terms. I've heard people say it, and I've thought it myself, I'm never going to forgive that person. But you're not hurting anybody but yourself when you do that. You're just holding on to the pain. Think about Joseph. When famine came to Canaan, the land where his brothers were living with their father, when they were in a state of famine and needed food, they found out that, hey, there's plenty of food down in Egypt. So Jacob sent his sons down there, go get us some grain, go buy us some grain and bring it back so we have something. And when they got down there, they didn't realize it, but they were standing before the very one that they had mistreated. The one they were jealous of, the one they'd thrown into the pit, the one they sold into slavery. They stood before their brother asking to buy grain. They didn't recognize him, but he recognized all of them. Imagine the emotions that were going on in such a scene. Here stood his brothers, and Joseph literally held their lives in his hands now. He was a powerful man. What must Joseph have been thinking? Well, let's let him struggle a bit here. Let's let him suffer a little bit. On second thought, let's let him suffer a lot. He was in a position to take revenge on him, wasn't he? And in fact, he even tried to do that a little bit. If you read through the rest of Genesis, you see he made them think that they had stolen from him, accused Benjamin of being a thief, and held him back because he knew that would hurt them going back to their father without Benjamin. He had them squirming for a while. But when Joseph tried to take revenge, it didn't help him. It didn't work. It didn't make the pain go away. It never does. Because no matter how much revenge you get, it never seems to be enough. Every time Joseph tried to take vengeance on his brothers, it hurt him. He started weeping again. He finally broke down in tears. And that's when the miracle of forgiveness started to happen in this situation. Joseph decided to let go of the pain so he could be reconciled to his brothers. He was letting go. In order for Joseph to forgive his brothers, he had to admit to himself and to them, "You hurt me. You hurt me." But we need to get past this. In fact, later on in Genesis, he says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good," in order to save the family. The forgiveness was starting when Joseph admitted how much he had been hurt. No more denials. No more excuses, no toleration or rationalization, but simply admitting that his brothers had caused him deep pain. "You hurt me." Real forgiveness faces the pain that you're feeling and brings the truth out into the open. If you don't admit it, it's really hard to get to forgiveness. People who drink too much can ruin their lives. Criminals serve time in jail. Forgiveness will not erase a police record, and it won't heal a damaged liver, but it can heal your life. Forgiveness mends relationships, and it lets you go on, leaving the pain behind, not carrying it with you any longer. Joseph looked his brothers in the eye and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother. Is my father still living?" That was the start of his forgiveness for his brothers. It says he hugged them and they all cried together. His forgiveness comes onto the scene in a dramatic climax to this story. It doesn't mean it was full or complete, because as you read through the rest of Genesis, you see there were still some tensions going on. In fact, when their father died, when Jacob died, the brothers all thought, oh no, now he's going to take it out on us. Now he's going to get us. But he had to remind them again, no, I've forgiven you. We're moving on. We're going past this. Once forgiveness takes over your life, you start to live anew. Listen to that again. Once forgiveness takes over your life, you start to live anew. You're reborn. Forgiveness has a healing and a freeing effect on you. In fact, it has a freeing effect on both the offended and the offender. It's life-altering. It's a miracle. Something bigger than what is human or natural. The comfort and freedom that comes from forgiveness in the lives of both parties is one of the strongest emotions that you will ever feel on this earth. I know 1 Corinthians 13 says the greatest of these is love, and love is powerful. Love is strong, and it is a powerful emotion. Love is also an action. But think of forgiveness that way too. Forgiveness is not just a feeling, it's an action. And it's powerful for both the one offering it and the one receiving it. It gives freedom. But let me remind you that this kind of freedom, again, is not human or natural. It's not from our own resources. It's just like in the beginning when God made something out of nothing. God's the one who made forgiveness. God's the one who showed us what forgiveness is. Forgiveness comes only through God and only through His Son. That's how we know forgiveness, because God explained it to us. And when God forgives, that doesn't mean He denies our guilt, or He acts like we didn't do anything wrong, or He just tries to shove it out of His mind. No, God dealt with our sin head on. The problem of sin, as I shared in the children's message, is it keeps us separated from God. And God said, I'm not going to have that. I'm going to do whatever it takes so that our relationship can be restored. And whatever it takes is what's on the screen. Jesus paying for the sin of the world. That's where forgiveness comes from. That's how you and I know what forgiveness is and how we know that forgiveness works. God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God confronted that problem head on. He said, your sin hurt me, but I'm going to deal with it. I'll do what is necessary. And in His mercy, He carried out the judgment we deserved and put it on Jesus. It is by His sacrifice that we are forgiven. Jesus didn't offer any excuses for our sins. He didn't pretend they didn't matter. He offered Himself to pay for them all. God's forgiveness for Jesus' sake covers us up. It blots out our sin. It wipes us clean and cancels out every single sin. It enables us to stand before God, and He sees us covered up with a robe of righteousness. He no longer sees our sin. He just sees Jesus and His perfection. He did that so that He could reestablish the relationship that He always wanted to have with His creation, mankind. It's only because that we have this forgiveness from God through faith in Christ that you and I can begin to forgive others truly and freely and completely. It's so important for our lives that we speak it every week when we gather together in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. God, I know you've forgiven me. Help me forgive those who've sinned against me. Let me follow your example. I know I've been forgiven. Now help me forgive. The church is made up of people who know the forgiveness that we have for Jesus' sake. The practice of forgiveness by Christians is the direct consequence of God's forgiveness to us. You get to be reminded of that forgiveness when the pastor announces it to you, but you can be reminded of that forgiveness every day when you confess your sins and God tells you, yes, I love you and I forgive you for Jesus' sake. And you'll be reminded of it in a very concrete way in just a few moments as we gather at this rail. And you receive the very body and blood that Jesus used to pay for your sins, to assure you, you are forgiven. It's yours now. You don't have to wait for it. It's already been paid for. Your faith lays hold of that forgiveness for Jesus' sake. Living as forgiven people, we will, with God's help, be forgiving people as well. God grant this in our lives. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes understanding keep your hearts and minds in the true faith through life everlasting. Amen.